Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station where we help those with ADHD pay attention to attention, with your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Topper.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Topper. Our topic tonight, ADHD and in-school suspension room innovations. With us in our virtual studio is Melissa Malin. Before we get into the meat of the show, a few quick announcements real quick. Tonight is Wednesday, January the 17th, in the year 2018, at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The third annual Women's Palooza is coming up. It's an online virtual conference starting February the 5th through the 10th. It's a spectacular event kind of hosted by Linda Rockley, VADD Diva. She's a really good friend of mine. She's a great interviewer, and they got a lot of really good content. This, again, is an online extravaganza that's focusing on ADHD from a woman's bend. I certainly appreciate Linda. She's actually invited me on every year to participate, and this year it's kind of fun because I'm talking about ADHD and sleep, which is a real fun topic. To learn more, go to ADHD Palooza. That's PALOOZA.com. Also, I'm a big fan of children and adults with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, which is actually the organization that is bringing the show to you tonight. We have a tip that we're going to run in a little bit. They have an annual conference every year, the second weekend in November. It's a spectacular event that you need to go attend. It's in St. Louis this year. You can learn more about it by going to chadd.org. Again, we've had a long-standing relationship with Chad, and they have a tip for you tonight. And this show is being brought to you by them, so let's roll a tip, and we'll get into the show.
Want school mornings to be stress-free? Planning the night before can make mornings run more smoothly for you and your child. Place a basket or box by the front door for backpacks, lunch boxes, coats, jackets, and whatever else your child might need to grab on their way out. For more tips to get the school year started right, go to the CHADD website, www.helpforadhd.org. That's www.help4adhd.org.
Thanks again, Chad. For those who are not familiar with CHADD, again, Children and Adults with Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder, they're the largest not-for-profit organization that advocates on behalf of those with ADHD. We encourage everyone to become members, not just because of the great member benefits, but mostly to support the organization. They're the one that lobbies on Capitol Hill and goes talk to many of the regulatory agencies on simple things like actually the definition of disability. And the Disability Acts, it might seem strange, but we have to fight to get the right definition in there because those acts are not just about ADHD. They cover lots of other conditions, dyslexia, autism, et cetera. And sometimes if we don't express our views, those definitions are written in such a way it makes it difficult for those that need accommodations to get them. So, again, we encourage you to learn more about them by going to chadd.org. So, let's get into the show. Tonight was a really fun show. I interviewed Melissa a couple years ago, literally 4 or 5 years ago, and she listened to one of our shows and reached out, and she had some things to share about some things that she was doing that we thought were quite fascinating. She reached out, and voila, we got a show. Again, so we're happy to have her back on. Melissa Malin is a PhD and co-founder of Focus and Learning Center, a nonprofit organization that partners with schools to recreate school suspension rooms to include using exercise as a tool to help students calm down and focus. We're going to be talking a lot about that tonight. The new reset rooms also include a protocol for staff monitors to guide students through exercise, identifying their feelings and frustration and stress before and after using exercise in the reset room, and then discuss problem solving and communications before going back to class. Really, it's a great opportunity for these kids to kind of reset and kind of downregulate. She's also the owner and lead consultant in IERU Academics, and we're going to ask her to help us with pronunciation of that in a second, where she works with underachieving students from fifth grade to college age to develop executive functioning skills they need to be successful. You can learn more about Melissa by Googling their website at Focus and Learning Center. And with that, Melissa, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Jeff. Thanks very much for having me on the show.
Now, I botched that name. It's Auxilu Academics. What, how do you pronounce that correctly?
Auxilu. Excuse me, Auxilu.
Auxilu, okay. Darn dyslexia gets in the way all the time. So anyway, this is fascinating to me because you work a lot in the learning environment, and suspension rooms are something that's been out there that I'm vaguely familiar with. But what is a suspension room, and what's its purpose? Can you just talk about that for a second before we start talking about some of the other things you've been doing?
Sure. The in-school suspension room is typically found in pretty much most public schools throughout the country. And the room is sort of a place where students who are dysregulated, maybe they're angry, their behavior is a little out of control, the teacher cannot manage them anymore in the classroom. They're asked to, instead of just go to the office, they basically go to the school office, and then there is the in-school suspension room very close by. And likely there's a staff member there who receives the student. And often the student just sits in the classroom in that room, and sort of calms down and gets ready to move on throughout the day.
Okay, so they calm down. They always calm down?
Well,
or they calm down
I think they hope they calm down.
Take a long time to calm down.
Yeah, well, I think the main point is that they've been suspended from the class that they're causing disruption in. They're no longer in the classroom disturbing other students. They're no longer the challenge that the teacher is facing at that moment. But beyond that, you know, depending on the school, who knows what's happening in this in-school suspension room. They might just sit there. They might have a staff person talk to them. From what I've found so far, there isn't a clear pathway or program in most schools for the student to learn how to self-regulate, learn how to problem solve, and learn how to get back into the classroom.
Well, the suspension room to me sounds a lot like punishment.
Yes, it is punishment. It is punishment, it is negative, and I would imagine that just by being sent to that room, clearly the student's not being sent away from school, they can go to the next class period or something, but one idea and philosophy that is starting to shift people's attention away from a punishment room or the in-school suspension room is the notion of restorative practice. And that philosophy asks for the school climate to be very positive, for the response to negative behavior to be very positive, where students have the chance to build, maintain, and restore relationships within the school and a place where everybody is involved. So that is the main interest, I think, that we're getting from schools in sort of remodeling these in-school suspension rooms from being just punitive drop spots to becoming learning spots of learning and places where restorative practice can actually occur.
So the buzzword is restorative practice and a move towards
yes.
that, not so much just punishment and figure out how to deal with it, but some type of concept
right.
of restoring the student to kind of get them back into mainstream.
Right, definitely. And the restorative practice philosophy also involves the whole school, so a teacher or a staff monitor or, you know, even peers of that student. So instead of, you know, you're just saying to the student, you're being disruptive, you have to leave my class, you're being punished, go to leave my class, go to the in-school suspension room. Instead of just that, a teacher may say, I think you need a little time and support and calming and building, you know, a response to whatever you're angry about or you're frustrated about. So they would go to this reset room, which is now not a stopping place or a drop-in spot, for which is really punishment. They're going there to get support and to learn, you know, how do I calm myself down? How do I think about the problem that I was just involved in? Who can I speak to? How can I solve this problem? How can I restore the relationship or the experience that I had? And that's the restorative practice philosophy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so one of the reason this was so attractive to me to have on the show is we did some interviews back in 2011 with Dr. Russell Barkley as he was as he'd been trying to redefine ADHD not as a deficit of attention but as a self. I mean, as an executive functioning issue, which is that's riddled with problems because there's so many different definitions of what executive functioning is. And the experts agree that one of the major, if not the major, one is self-regulation, to which there's a great definition of. So he began to use that as a as a kind of a Swiss Army knife to determine what was executive functioning, and also to determine or to look at ADHD. And it's, since interviewing him, it's changed the way I look at the world, because as he describes, self-regulation is, you have to regulate attention and you have to regulate emotion. And we've actually done a show with him strictly on emotion and how emotion used to be part of the diagnostic criteria for ADHD until the 70s, in which case it was kind of dropped off. And he's clearly making a very powerful argument, looking at seven different domains and research angles that clearly says ADHD is self-regulation and emotions are much a part of it. And the reason I thought this was really powerful is that before, is when you had a kid maybe with ADHD or somebody who's having a behavioral problem, they're sent to these suspension rooms as kind of punishment to deal with it. Well, nobody teaches them how to deal with it. They just sit there. It's by hook or crook that they actually figure it out. And it seems to me that's not empowering the system. It's a very negative feeling, and you're nearly not helping the student to really figure out what's going on, to really mainstream themselves back. And what I'm hearing you say is this restorative practice thought idea is to restructure that room to bring it in and help guide the students and help them learn maybe a more methodical process to bring themselves back around. Is that an accurate reflection of what this is about?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So instead of being a place of punishment and only a holding pen, it is now a place to learn about the student's ability to self-regulate, to calm down. What can they do? What can they use? How can they then think about problem solving and also develop communication approaches so that they can return back to their school environment and maintain those relationships, solve those problems, and feel good the rest of the day?
This is awesome. Melissa, I want to kind of go to break, and I want to come back and talk about, as you're restructuring these rooms into the reset room, which is a much better term, I think. I want to come back and talk about some of the practical strategies that you guys to kind of help make that happen. For our listeners, I encourage you to learn more about Melissa and her organization, Focus and Learning Center, by just Googling it. Just, again, it's Focus and A&D Learning Center. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function challenge make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more or call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE to get your free college success guide.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Managing ADHD is about pausing before you ponder and proceed. This opportunity to practice pausing is being brought to you by digcoaching.com. The Attention Talk Network has over 450 interviews and more than 210 hours of programming, which is overwhelming if you think about it. That's why I've made my list top 10 favorite Attention Talk radio interviews. Download the list at www.digcoaching.com/ATR.
And now back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. Before the break, we were talking with Melissa about suspension rooms and the notion of reset rooms and kind of what this is all about. And before the break, we were talking about the need for students to really be kind of taught how to kind of down-regulate their emotions to be kind of brought back. And Melissa, in these reset rooms, you guys actually use exercise and yoga and other things to kind of as tools to help the students learn to reset. Can you tell us about them?
Absolutely. In one of our schools, inside the reset room, there are two spin bikes, two indoor cycle bikes. And if you're not familiar with that, it's basically a stationary bike, but it's a commercial bike, so it's incredibly tough. It's very resilient. It also has a resistance lever on it. So the person who's sitting in one spot riding that bike can increase the resistance, which then increases the heart rate. So it's very easy within just that room, and in just 5 minutes to give the student a protocol which will lead them into an exercise situation where they're using high-intensity interval training, which raises the heart rate and in turn, quite fabulously, produces norepinephrine and dopamine, which increases focus and causes calm for the student. Also, the yoga practice, we also have a protocol for yoga practice should the student not want to try out the exercise, high-intensity exercise. There is a protocol for yoga, mats, and some instruction by the monitor in the room. So using exercise to provide self-calm is the first step.
And one of the cool things about this, is about using those strategies to kind of get them down, is these rooms are not just for people that the teacher would send them. Students can actually self-select. So if they're in the classroom and they feel like they're starting to have some emotional issues or whatever, they can actually go to these rooms to kind of voluntarily reset. Is that am I misrepresenting? Is that the case as well?
That is absolutely true, and that's one of the very unique features about this program. So it's not just a reset room that has some exercise equipment in it with the same process happening where a student loses control in the class and the teacher sends them down and everybody's angry and the student comes in and maybe sits on a bike or does them a little yoga. But it is the fact that the reset room is available to support students in learning how to self-regulate, learning how to problem solve, and learning how to communicate with their school environment. So they can absolutely self-select, and that is just a really unique feature. And it's wonderful because no one's getting angry and the student isn't losing control in order to get access to the room.
So what I like about this, and I think everybody can begin to understand why I'm such a fan of this, we did an interview with Autumn Zatani a couple of years ago from Sesame Street, and Autumn oversees the curriculum of everything on the TV, the apps, YouTube channel, and the website. And in season 43 of Sesame Street, they focused on self-regulation exclusively in that season, and they use the Muppets, if you will, to begin to model behavior. One of the things that they did was they would help the preschoolers kind of look up and identify feelings and where they felt in their body, and to help them kind of understand how that manifests. In coaching, we do that all the time, like feel the body, because if you're feeling some anxiety or anger or frustration, that's the trigger for you to remember. And then they would teach the preschoolers to belly breathe to get oxygen in, and then count 1, 2, 3 to distance themselves from the trigger. And the idea would be to begin to brainstorm with somebody to begin to problem solve. And that is interesting to me because it's a ubiquitous process that I've seen to downregulate emotions. And Melissa, what I'm hearing you say is by witnessing themselves in the classroom or teachers and self-selecting, or the class or the teacher saying, listen, let's give you an opportunity to go to these reset rooms, you guys are providing the staff there and the facilities to help lead these kids through the development of the skills to learn how to downregulate their emotions. Because one thing I've learned, we've done some interviews on this too, about that fight, flight, or freeze response, because when you get amped up on emotions, you can't even remember what to do. And by practicing these things and walking them through this, or empowering the kids literally to manage their emotions, to downregulate so they can focus and then get back into school to kind of be productive. Is there anything you want to add to that? Because it just seems to mirror exactly what we've learned from these other experts that you're actually implementing.
No, absolutely. You absolutely have it right. Just really... one of the main things that we're talking about is how to use exercise to teach someone how they can self-regulate, how they can calm down, how they can identify, not only identify those feelings, the high level feelings that you're talking about, but how they can use exercise as a tool to down-regulate, to feel calmer, to feel the presence of mind, to be able to start talking and problem solving.
It's interesting. We did an interview with John Rady, too. He co-wrote Driven to Distraction with Ned Hollowell, and he also wrote the book Spark, which is about exercise, and it's fascinating to me the role exercise can play to help a person. As he said, it's the body's natural antidepressant. It's probably, if we could put it in a bottle, it would be wonder drug for those with ADHD, and it's really, really, really good in the uses of down-regulated emotions. So you're bringing that to the party to kind of help facilitate this. Again, everybody, what Melissa's doing is she's actually putting into practice all these things that we've had all these experts on talk about theory, and it really, really makes a lot of sense when you think about it in a very positive way.
Absolutely. It's very exciting, and it really is working. It's amazing.
I tell you what, let's go to our second break. And we'll come back. We'll kind of continue our discussion. So everybody, learn more about Melissa and what she's doing with her organization. Just Google Focus and Learning Center. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You can't go off to college with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more how an EDGE coach can help your student reach their full potential. You can also call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE and get a free college success guide.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
The Attention Talk Network has over 450 interviews and more than 210 hours of programming, which is overwhelming if you think about it. That's why I've made my list top 10 favorite Attention Talk radio interviews. Download the list at www.digcoaching.com/ATR.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here with Melissa Malin having a conversation about the new idea, new concept of remodeling the suspension room into reset rooms. And so far, big fan of everything that she's doing, as much as she's actually implementing in real time what we've learned from some of the experts. Melissa, it seems to me that students that are kind of coming in with a trained monitor and working with them through the students is really beneficial because they're walking them through the process. I kind of believe when a student comes to that room, though, the monitor is not really running them through a set protocol. I mean, there's guidelines, but they're actually kind of meeting the student where they are and trying to help them on an individual basis. Is that accurate, or have we found certain things just to work for everybody?
Well, no, you're right. It's the monitor is sort of prepared and trained about just a general protocol that we would like to see the student move through in that room. However, the monitor definitely meets the student where they're at. And one of the first questions is, we have a chart with feelings and emotion and so forth. And the first is to ask the student, how are you feeling? Where are you at? And then would you like to do some exercise on the bike? Or how about do some calming with some yoga? I've got some steps I can show you or some poses I can show you. But first we ask the student, you know, we're glad you're here. We say, we're glad you're here. How are you feeling? And let's work through this. So there is a coaching element and there's a support element. It isn't just, a curriculum.
Oh, I like the where are you at, and I love the poster idea of them looking at it, giving them a visual to kind of think their way through this, because there's such a receiving of where you are, like where are you at, and a working together and awareness that you're teaching them to kind of learn how to self-monitor, and then whether it's a pose or quiet meditation or getting on the bike and actually kind of working them through the process. It's kind of like if they go there a couple times, it's an exercise. You're practicing that routine over and over and over so they can make it real, and I would think use some of this stuff outside the classroom, even sometimes maybe at home.
Absolutely. And then even after they test out some of the exercise, or they go through, 5 minutes of high intensity work on the bike or some yoga poses, the monitor then is guided to ask the student again, now how are you feeling? Show me where you're at here. And maybe they come in and they're at an 8 or a 9, and afterwards they're at a 6. And then the monitor says, are you ready? Do you want to talk a little bit? You want to tell me your story? What was going on? Or do you want to have another 5 minutes on the bike? Or what's your choice? And then the student chooses, and then maybe they go through that cycle again, and then they come back and start talking about the problem and then what some resolution can be and then how they can communicate that back when they return to the class or student peers.
I really like that. But like how can you communicate that back? And I know many with ADHD, they struggle with the emotional side, and because of working memory, sometimes they have a hard time coming up with the words to do that, even to kind of work with them and talk about how they can go back and talk about that. I think is really invaluable for many of them, just to kind of help get them back online. So,
absolutely. We have a communication card that they fill out too before they go back. They can choose, here we've talked through this, you've come up with two great solutions for next time, or a solution to resolve this conflict that just occurred. Do you want to use this communication card and write down these ideas or steps, and then they can take that with them? Clearly, they don't have to do that, but working memory is an issue, and remembering exactly what to say and, you know, what were the words that made me feel like I could remember what I was going to, the story I was going to tell her, what I was going to say. So
absolutely.
We have that.
And how long have you been working to remodel the suspension rooms, to reset rooms?
Well, just in the last year, and we've been doing this, and we've been working with a couple of different groups, and feel pretty good about the program that we're starting to develop. And it is a coaching program, not an educational curriculum. We're also connecting to Second Step, social and emotional learning, some of their practices. And each school that we've gone to, we're asking in a consultative way, you know, what's already working for you? What are you already doing in your school culture? And how can we work with that and build on that to develop some sort of coaching model that will work in your what used to be an in-school suspension room and your reset room?
I have to tell you, I'm a real fan of anybody who kind of takes the theory off the shelf and kind of gets down in the trenches and starts to build a model and a way of making it happen. It sounds to me that other than a room and an exercise bike and a little bit of training, this is not really that difficult to implement. It's really a very much of a mindset that one adopts. And with just a little bit of training and a little bit of equipment, we can really revolutionize the practice here and not only help students reset, but actually teach them how to do it in school, out of school, and in life.
Absolutely. And in life, absolutely. So these skills, we're hoping, instead of, you know, moving from a room where someone's being punished and they're just being held until they sort of calm down or move on to the next class, we're really, really wanting to help train students so that they can learn skills that they can use everywhere and always in the future. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Any other insights to share before we wrap it up?
No, I just really think that using exercise as a tool to self-calm and to focus learning is amazing, and we're very excited about that. And thank you so much for having me on your show. It was wonderful. Thank you.
It's absolutely a thrill. Everybody, to learn more about Melissa and her organization, Google Focus and Learning Center, and you can learn more there. Other than that, we hope you've enjoyed this edition of Attention Talk Radio. Take care, everybody.